Let's pray together. Father, we do ask that you would help us as we look at these magnificent words. We thank you for the truths that they contain about you and your unshakable, steadfast character. We thank you that you are trustworthy. We thank you that we do not have to fear, for you are our God and you live within us. We pray that you would speak to each one of us this morning through these words. We pray for Phil Cooper as well, who's preaching in Walton, and ask that you might help him as he opens the scriptures, help him to be dependent upon you, and we pray that you might be pleased to pour out your spirit upon that congregation and bring great conviction when the word is preached. So help him and help us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So verse 2 of this psalm, which hopefully you've still got in front of you, says, "Therefore we will not fear, though the earth gives way." And I want to ask, how do you feel when you read that? Is that something you can confidently say as you look into this new year, that no matter what happens to you, you will not fear, no matter what happens? And what about our church family around the world who we've already been praying for, many of whom will be persecuted this year? Can they honestly say that? That no matter who comes for them, no matter what happens, they will not fear. You see, I don't know about you, but based on my past experience, I feel more like Peter going into this new year, the disciple who, despite all of his confidence at the start, ends up trembling before a servant girl who asks him about Jesus. And yet this psalm says, we will not fear, though the earth give way. Is that a realistic statement for 2017, for us here? Or is that just nice poetry which could never really be true in a real world full of real things that we really fear? That's the question. And the reason I want to kick off this year with this psalm is because it calls us not to pretend and not to have a kind of unrealistic view of the year ahead, because fears will come, but to look through those fearful circumstances of life and to see the sort of God that we have, a God who is wonderfully strong, a God who is always with us, so that in those times we would not despair but rejoice. This psalm contains some of the most magnificent statements about the nature and the character of God. Just have a look again at verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Verse 11, the Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. That's what this is all about. The whole psalm is hemmed in by these two stunning statements about the character of God. He is almighty, he is a fortress, he is a rock, a refuge, a judge. From top to bottom and in the middle, this song is designed to show us how unshakably strong God is and what good news that is for us. You see, we have no idea what is going to take place in the next 12 months if the Lord doesn't return. If it's anything like the last 12 months, there will probably be moments of great surprise on the national scene. There will be moments of tragedy. There will be predictions that people make which don't come to pass. There will be disasters, all sorts of them, which strike the earth. There will be rulers who are raised up to oppress people. There will be scientific discovery which makes us rejoice, and then moral decisions based on that which make us weep. And that will be true, no doubt, personally as well. No doubt some of us will face events this year that we just did not expect. The loss of a loved one, perhaps. Or the arrival of new life. A job which seems to fail and slip away, or a promotion up the ladder, a disease which begins to dig in and take hold of us, or healing after years of suffering. We do not know what will happen, but this psalm assures us that God is a magnificent rock for his people. Verse 1, God is our refuge and strength. He is our refuge. See, it's no good, is it, if you're fleeing from some enemy and for you to see a fortress on the horizon, which you know can protect you if you can get inside, but then you get up to the fortress with the enemy behind you and you discover that the gates are shut and they're not opening for you. That is a devastating discovery. But to know that the most unshakably strong being in the universe uses his strength to help his people is just wonderful news. And I think there is nothing sweeter for us to reflect on at the start of a new year than the character and the nature of God. So here's the first point. God is our refuge. We will not fear. God is our refuge. We will not fear. Have a look again right to the beginning of this psalm. He says, for the director of music of the sons of Korah. Now, they were servants in the sanctuary, and some of them had this special responsibility for making music and helping the people worship the Lord. According to Alamoth, which is probably a musical term of some kind, not quite sure, a song. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way, and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. And if you just turn over maybe a page or two to Psalm 56, it's another psalm in this section, book two of the Psalms. You can see there's very similar language that's being used. And if you have a look at verse 3, it says, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you, in God whose word I praise, in God I trust, and am not afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? And if we were to read together the whole of this section, book two of the Psalms, we'd see that theme coming up over and over again, the distress that God's people go through and their response. And in Psalm 46, you can see it right from the start. It's like you're watching some sort of disaster film. I mean, you've got the earth collapsing around you, tsunamis wreaking havoc upon the earth, earthquakes splitting the continents, whirlwinds flying across the earth. That's the picture we've got. The very fabric of creation is coming apart at the seams. The earth gives way. The mountains fill the sea. It's picture language to describe the most frightening moments that you could face, but also the most unexpected moments that you could face. I mean, you don't normally expect the mountains to give way. They are actually a picture of stability and strength in the world. When they start collapsing and falling into the sea, something is really wrong. And therefore, we are supposed to see and to know that even in the worst imaginable circumstances or the most unexpected, like the collapsing of the earth, that God is an ever-present help in times of trouble. One author says that the righteous will not yield to disastrous fear. Though the nations are convulsed with terrible excitements and all the apparent safeguards of society are gone, no, not even when there is upon the earth distress of nations, not even then will we despair. It's not to say that everything is just going to be rosy this year for all believers in the Lord Jesus. And it's not to say that if you rest in God, no difficult circumstances will come. These are not cliches for us to throw around loosely at suffering Christians. But it is a wonderful reminder that over and above and under and around God's people, there is a strong, ever-present God who is our refuge. When all else, things that we thought were so secure, begin to shake, he remains strong for his people. The German monk Martin Luther, who was one of the most significant figures in the Reformation, and we're going to be learning a lot about him this year as it's the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, he loved this psalm. It was his favorite psalm. He wrote about it, he sang about it, he preached on it all the time. And he used to say, when feeling afraid, that God's people ought to sing this psalm to the praise of God, because God is with us and powerfully and miraculously preserves and defends his church and his word against all fanatical spirits, against the gates of hell, against the hatred of the devil, and against all the assaults of the world. So come, let us sing the 46th together, and let men do their worst. There are all sorts of things that people look to for help in unstable times. They look to the security of money to provide a fortress against discomfort. They look to the pleasures of this world to escape the mundane. They trust entirely in human governments to protect them from the extremes of human evil, things which ultimately are unstable, which fail, and which disappoint time and time again. And so let us be a people who look to the refuge which never fails. Because when we do, even if all that is stable, all that we thought was secure, starts collapsing around us, ultimately we do not have to despair, because God is with us and he is for us. That is the first point. God is our refuge, we will not fear. Secondly, God is our refuge, we are secure and we are glad. God is our refuge, we are secure and we are glad. Verse 4. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. So here's another reason for us not to be afraid this year. The God whose voice can melt the earth is the God who lives in us and we in him. And I think that just adds another layer of beauty to the fortress image, doesn't it? I mean, again, imagine that you're running from that enemy. You see the fortress. You get there eventually. The gates are open. You go in, but you find that it's totally abandoned. It's deserted. There is no strong king to help you. There is no strong king to look after you. The refuge is there, but it's of no real use to you. But not here. The city is not empty. The people of God are secure, because we are united to an unshakable God who lives in us, his city, his people, his bride. And of course, this side of the cross, that is the great promise at the heart of the new covenant, isn't it? Which the presence of God in the temple was always pointing to. Have a listen to Ezekiel chapter 36, this promise that God gave. He says, "For I will take you out of the nations. I will gather you from all the countries and bring you back into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all of your impurities and from your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Then you will live in the land I gave your ancestors. You will be my people. I will be your God. I will save you from your uncleanness." So you see that? God's weary, exiled people had the promise that one day the Spirit of God would dwell in every believer. Sin would be washed away. The heart of stone would be replaced. God would be with us and we would be with him. And wonderfully, when the Lord Jesus Christ came to earth, he established that covenant. He shed his blood on the cross as he bore our sin so that we might be forgiven. He rose again. He went back to heaven. He poured out his spirit upon everyone who would confess him as Lord and believe. What a promise. The spirit of the unshakable God would dwell in his people. Or as verse 5 says, God is within her. She will not fail. 4. If you are a Christian, the God of this universe lives in you by his Spirit. He is more real than the chair that you're sat on, and he will be present with you forever. That is the sort of faith-sustaining river which can take you through a new year and which can make you glad when everything else around you might be shaking. So you can see there is definitely a progression in this psalm. In verse 1 to 3, we do not have to fear because of who God is. In verse 4 to 7, we are secure because of who God is. And in all of that, we can rejoice. It is designed to make us glad. Verse 4, there is a river, the truth about God, whose streams make glad the city of God. These are not just abstract truths for us to analyze and comment on without any emotional response. I mean, I remember in my geology degree at Kingston University, we spent hours doing that kind of thing. We would stand before these big cliffs in freezing British seaside weather. We would look at rocks. We would hold them in our hands. We would analyze them, talk about their composition and their makeup, the minerals that were in them. We even had to taste them on occasion to work out how sandy it was. And all of that was interesting, for me at least, but it's not the sort of truths that thrill your heart forever. You know, they don't make you glad deep in your soul with an unshakable gladness which can't be moved. You don't love these truths. They don't excite you eternally. And it's the same with God. He's not that kind of rock to be analyzed in a cold, frosty way from a distance. He is for us. He is secure. He is to be trusted and enjoyed. And all of that should make us glad. In 2017, there will be many things which disappoint us. Many things. There will be many things which frustrate us. The nations will roar, verse 6. Kingdoms will collapse. Organized movements will rise up against our God. But we are to remember that in everything that happens, the God whose voice can melt the earth is the God who lives in us. And we can be glad in that wonderful reality. That's the second thing. God is our refuge. We are secure and we are glad. Thirdly, God is an almighty judge. Let us worship him. God is an almighty judge. Let us worship him. Have a look at verse 8 again with me. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations that he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. So now we've got the first two parts of this picture together, verse 1 to 3 and verse 4 to 7. Even when the most stable things in life begin to crumble, the people of God are glad because he is with us. And then in this last section, we're given another truth about God to fuel our worship and to increase our faith in him. And that is that the God who is our rock is also the mighty judge of this universe. Back in November, the student group at this church took a tour of the British Museum, looking at all the different archaeological evidence which confirms the truth of the scriptures. And it's thoroughly worth doing if you get a chance. I'm sure we will run a similar tour or two this year. And on this particular day, our tour guide decided to take us on a victory of Yahweh over the nations and over idols tour, which doesn't have a very catchy name. He articulated it much better than I just did, but that was the substance of it. And so we went round in all these different rooms in the British Museum, and we basically looked at these great civilizations, these kingdoms of men, the pharaohs, Babylonians, Assyrians, and all these gods who have come and gone in history, these empires that God has raised up and brought down for his purposes, just as he does today. And yet, by the end of the tour, we were supposed to see that the Lord Almighty is still here, and he stands, and he stands, and he stands forever and ever. Come and see what the Lord has done, verse 8. The destructions he has brought upon the earth. The Lord who is our refuge is also the mighty judge. History proves it. Time and time again, he has brought his judgments upon this earth. He has frustrated the kingdoms of men. And one day, everybody will see and acknowledge that for themselves. Verse 10, I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. God has promised that at some point, might be 2017, might not be, that there will be a final judgment to bring about the end of human wars once and for all. The violent kingdoms of men will finally collapse, and he himself will be exalted. And praise the Lord that that is true. Because again, if Jesus does not return this year, we can say with some degree of confidence that it will be a year full of human bloodshed. We've already seen it. First day of the year, another attack in Turkey, 35 to 40 people dead. And we guess that will be a pattern throughout much of the year. The wickedness of man will show itself time and time again in many horrible acts of violence. But one day, God will bring it all to an end. And when he does, everybody will see his power and his glory. You see, at the moment, we've talked about God's strength. We've talked about what a wonderful refuge that he is. We've talked about his goodness. But the majority of the people in this area are still blind to that reality. They do not see that. They suppress the truth about who God is. They are blinded by Satan so that they cannot see what a wonderful, precious, sweet refuge that he is and what an almighty judge that he is. But one day, that will all change, and either with great joy or crushing distress, all people will acknowledge that our God is Lord of all, and he will be exalted among the nations. And of course, when you get to the New Testament, you see that promise is given even greater clarity and detail. Just turn with me to Philippians chapter 2 in the New Testament. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. Paul says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The Lord Jesus Christ is our ever-present help. He is our refuge in times of trouble. He is our almighty judge. And one day, on the day of judgment, his name will be exalted for all to see. And to all of this, our response should be and will be on the last day, verse 10, be still and know that I am God. Which doesn't just mean empty your mind, doesn't mean sort of stop moving, stop what you're doing. It is a call to bow in worship before the Almighty God. That is the dramatic conclusion of this psalm. And if you're anything like me, you desperately need, more than anything, to spend time reflecting on the nature and the character of God that we've seen in this psalm. You see, what people out there in Kingston need more than anything else, and what we in here need more than anything else, is not more box sets, is not more games, is not more entertainment, is not more social media apps. It is this magnificent vision of God, who is the rock of ages and who is the judge of all. And the truth is, our spiritual health next year depends on whether we are going to be gripped by this God or not. As I said at the beginning, in the next 12 months, loads will change in this world. Presidents are going to rise and fall. Violent groups will come and go, and probably lots is going to change for you. There might be crushing disappointments in your life, unwelcome surprises, the ongoing battle against sin, seasons of joy and peace. And if we are going to survive all of that, any of that, we need to grab hold of these truths and remember who our God is. The Lord is our refuge. We do not have to fear. The Lord is our refuge. We are secure and we are glad no matter what happens. And the Lord is an almighty judge. Let us worship him. Let's have a moment of quiet for you to think on some of those things and to pray. And then we're going to read this psalm out together.